The Buzzer After Hours. Who says nothing good happens after 2 a.m.? Music. Stories. Just dropped releases. The After Party. Dates from Hell. Nothing is taboo. Join us Wednesdays. After Hours.
Hey, y'all. I am Shay. This is the Buzzer After Hours show. Welcome, episode 14. Tonight we highlight Pride Before the Fall, an album by Toronto band Iron Age Mystics. Released in 2019, Pride Before the Fall is a literary masterpiece by Kevin Connolly. Kevin Connolly and Sasha Tukac joins us. Kevin performed lead, background vocals, keyboards, and spoken word. Sasha performed percussion and drums. He also was part of a sound engineering team. Pride Before the Fall is revolutionary with on-point messages of empowerment. The album is intoxicating to those of us who seek truth in society. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Sasha.
Hello there.
Thank you for coming on the show today to discuss your album, Pride Before the Fall. I love the album.
Well, thank you, Shay.
Love the album. It's very eye-opening. Yeah, I love it. Like, I'm very activist by nature, so
good.
It really spoke to me. Can you tell me what spurred you on to write this album? Because you made a big commitment. Big commitment artistically.
Well, thank you. Shorthand version, my dad was a news junkie and had a pile of newspapers about waist high beside his bed. I'd go up and, you know, jam with my dad about what was going on in the world, what was going on around the block. I don't think I caught his you know, addiction to news and journalism till a decade or two later in my life. And it happened to be during a period where artistically I wasn't really doing much in terms of my own self-expression. I was doing much more in the context of performing a David Bowie show at that time, which of course is as wonderful as it can get if you're a singer, but it wasn't the whole deal for me. So what I did providence or just good luck, I met three other players who were interested in forming at least a writing group, not so much maybe a band, but at least a writing group. And we wrote, and all the news and all the morning reading and all the journalism that I had pursued, both, you know, from mainstream media and alternative media, it started to bubble up in me, and I wanted to make a statement, although being a little bit of a newbie in this turf and the band not being secured so much as a band, I just tested the water with little song bites and, you know, lyrics and what have you. And around the time we wrote a song called You've Got the Power, I kind of heard that click. Not only with the lyrics in context with the music, but also with the band itself, a real synergy. And you know when that's happening, and you can certainly tell when it's not. And so from there, I dedicated myself to writing an album that was 100% socio-political with a bit of a spiritual bent to it. And that's how that came about.
Great. It's just my own take on it here. The other songs are more situation specific, like the fallout of the financial crisis and things like that. I was just wondering, did the first song, You Got the Power, that you wrote, bring out those other topics? Or did it come about by just the daily news you were reading when you were creating this project?
Yeah, lyrically speaking, it was a little bit both. I think You Got Power, being the initiator of the project as a being formal writing, politically oriented project, really set a platform for it, for me to kind of reflect on more specific issues. I think if I'm my own lyricism correctly, your power is more a general statement of standing up in the face of injustice and political, social political rhetoric from our leaders and financial moguls, if you will, plutocrats, if you want to take it one step further. So it set a precedent for sure. It set the bar for where I wanted to go with this lyrically, referring to, I believe, Big Bad Mother Vulgar. That was obviously more case specific. You know, it had to do with the 2008 financial crash. And as we've discussed, you know, other factors that built up to it. So. Mm-hmm. So in other words, the answer is about a 50-50 yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 Twice. How about that?
Thank you for the response.
You're welcome.
So we know it is very soul searching and you call upon people to draw within themselves.
Absolutely. Yes.
You got the power to break the walls down. To me, it's a fight song. It's great.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Shay.
Who were the first three band members?
Iron Age Mystics band members, the first three, well, it was actually the first four, were myself, guitar player Alan Wong, Greg Mount drumming, and Clayton Rudy on bass. Basically, as the band stands right now, it's Sasha, myself, and we're working with Derek Black to develop out new material, including remix and a remaster of a previous Iron Mystics track called Thought Police. And that's about where we're at now. And now we're at the stage where we're advancing into, you know, what are we going to do next as far as the EP goes or as far as singles go or both. And that's about where we're at. Anything to add to that, Sasha?
No, I think the new thrill for 2021 is working with Derek Black, a.k.a. Clark Bent, as you mentioned, the remixes and new songs. So very excited about that.
Yeah, I can see why. I happened upon the remix agent of Thought Police. It's outstanding.
It's cool, isn't it?
Outstanding. Yeah, it's really good. Really good. I was impressed.
You did a good job.
So how did you come about that approach for the track, Sasha?
Well, being a historical fan, I thought as soon as I heard the track, I thought, well, military drums and marching. So once I got that in my brain, I thought, let's take it from there as far as the drum composition was concerned. But of course, the song was pretty much in the can. So I had the great pleasure of working with well-developed track, and first impressions are the thing for me. They usually stick.
Can you comment on that song?
Can I comment on that song? Well, I could, but it would take far too long, so.
And now we're going to hear Save It for the Revolution.
Master, 'cause I don't wanna sleep. We've got to erupt. We've got to split our minds, rewild, release. When we join all together, on our backs, we carry forward the dream.
I love it. That's my comment. I love it.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Now, the question is, when is the revolution coming? Because I see a lot of armchair critics, but they're not doing anything, whether I believe in them or not. You know, there's a lot of yak, and typing, but there's no one actually doing anything.
I tend to agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Great point, Sash. Great point.
Kevin, the spoken word and the track we just heard, Save It for the Revolution, was written by Sharon English. Is that the professor at the University of Toronto?
That would be the professor or a professor at the University of Toronto. And yes, that would also be my wife.
I am blown away. Very talented. Very talented. That's, yeah.
So it's a 2-for-1-er. And as, Sharon, of course, she, when I was writing lyrics for the album, she would be my lyrical editor, you see. I don't think I mentioned this before. So I would lock myself in my studio in our place and, you know, pull my hair out for 7 or 8 hours, come down with what I thought was a good song or a good lyric for a good song. And then the professor would go to work and tell me what worked and what didn't. In which case, you know, I mostly passed with flying colors, but on the rare. I had the best lyrical editor because, of course, Sharon's specialty is creative writing and English. And so I had one of the best editors in history, at least. Mm-hmm. One office away. And so that's how I managed to inadvertently write some, I think, words that make sense in this context. But yes, that is Sharon English, well-known and a wonderful author of fiction and long fiction. And yeah, that would be my spouse. And there you go.
Yeah, you're lucky. I follow her. Well, tell your wife that I absolutely have so much respect for her as a professional.
Absolutely. I will pass that on, Shay.
So we're going to be listening to Thought Police next. I love the fact it opens with acoustic. What was the reason for that choice?
Time that we were writing it, and that really mystic stuff, Alan Wong, the guitar player, took charge when we were in the studio, put a hold on recording the drum and bass beds, but had an idea, didn't really tell anybody what it was. Went home, bashed it out, came back, and we wound up, the other three members who weren't informed of Alan's bright idea, wound up being an audience to our own song. I agree with you. It's a beautiful touch. But that was completely Alan, not myself or the rest of the guys.
That's very interesting. Thank you. Kevin, do you have anything to add to the Thought Police?
I think, you know, a term that if you're a reader and a news buff like me, a term that you will find thrown around more and more is technocracy. Where technology on the bright side helps us move our lives along, you know, much better and much more efficiently and this and that. And then there is the privacy factor of it and about how essentially, you know, on the upshot, you get all these goodies and all this convenience and all this fun and all this entertainment and all this everything right at your fingertips. The downshot is a real move towards essentially having your privacy invaded, your data collected, harvested and sold, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So as everything technologically seems to be coming together as one, there are very, very, very serious concerns that I think anyone even somewhat slightly informed and even somewhat slightly objective to the issue should be made aware of and should perhaps even in their ways or in a more collective way rebel against, because
there is
a very dark side to all of this. And Thought Police is a fairly old Iron Age mystic song. Since I wrote that lyric, it's only exponentiated. And of course, with the Christ world is going through right now, it exponentiates on a daily basis, if not a weekly basis. And there's all sorts of infrastructure that on one hand you can say, well, yes, it's in place to track and monitor and keep us safe, but will that infrastructure disappear when we are no longer going through a crisis? Myself, it raises an eyebrow. It raises more than an eyebrow. It raises two eyebrows. I don't think so. Unless we, the people, can become more outspoken about this. And that's why Thought Police, I think, unexpectedly, became a much more timely song to what we're going through today than it even was at the time when we released it, which was 2019.
And as promised, Thought Police.
Stay asleep.
I think society has progressed in terms of what happened with Snowden and what it brought out. You can even look to your own social media and your own networks where people are policing one another more than ever than before.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. There's your, yeah, I mean, it, you know, it saves these intelligence agencies a lot of work if, you know, people are policing each other. And one sure way to do that is to foment division. And God knows that too has been exponentiating over the past past 5-10 years. And, you know, there is, you know, in my view, a real deliberacy towards fomenting divinity. More than just irresponsible. I think it should actually be criminal. But then again, you know, this is, you know, this is almost a problem response. It, you know, what we need, in my opinion, is unity, not division. But with so many divisive aspects in our culture being promoted, and not simply, of course, in ours, in European and other cultures, it's a device to make, a united peoples vulnerable and weak and by themselves. And also always keeping the eye on the bigger picture, because you're engaged emotionally and psychologically and mentally in smaller pictures, which hold degrees, of course, of truth to it. But they become sharpened by a diametric opposition, and a diametric opposition forms the flames, and then that gets all the headlines, and then you're not really looking at what you should be looking at least an overarching view of the larger things that are going on in the world. We talked about the move towards technocracy and other issues that are much more grand and much more scopic and will affect all of us much, much more over the medium and long haul. Right. Uh-huh. And so it's, I hope I summed that up for you there, Shay.
No, you definitely did. There's a lot of puppetry that's being played out in the media. What are either of your thoughts on what is happening in Canada right now with the introduction into Parliament of Bill C-10? And the regulation of the internet.
Sash?
I'll take a quick stab at that, and that is oversight, there's nothing wrong with oversight. And there's always going to be a referee or a moderator that says, you know, nah, you pushed it a little too far. Because that's not what this game is about. The builders of the infrastructure have said that the only good thing to do would be to tear it down and start anew. Those are my 2 points. Controlling or overseeing it is not bad. Controlling it, bad. And the design of the system, of the network, and how it's being used, Oppenheimer versus what it was intended for, bad. So tear it down.
Yeah, yeah. I largely agree with you, Sash. I think you're right on point with that. I don't agree myself with censorship. I believe that political correctness was, you know, the light version of the advent of what has become a almost militarized version of censorship, particularly in these days. You get canceled if you have... There are a lot of opinions that I find painful, and that'll never change. And there are a lot of opinions that I find relatively eloquent that other people, you know, might not. But it's a very slippery slope when you go to when we move in a larger context to, okay, so who are these thought police? Who's deciding right think from wrong think? Right. And you brought up the banning of George Orwell's 1984.
And how far are we away from that? How many years are we away from the reality and the symbolism of banning 1984 speaks, pardon the pun, but it speaks volumes, you know? If you find an opinion, you know, I mean, when it comes down to science, say, for instance, we get one side of science, the side of science that the state, largely the state and invested corporations, what have you, want to push. All right. Well, that's one side. But if you cancel out the other side, you know, then there is no debate. Right. There is no knowledge passed back and forth. There is none. You just have one single unilateral opinion. And I shouldn't need to point out to any adult with more than two brain cells to rub together, this is a very bad thing. This is a very bad series of steps that we're taking. And so, yeah, I'll leave it at that. But I hope you can agree.
Yeah, definitely.
That's something that's been going on for a while, right? I mean, history is constantly being rewritten in one shape or form or another. I mean, you would take old blues songs that, you know, wouldn't get recorded or wouldn't get published. So they got Whitey in there and, you know, all of a sudden it's Whitey's song, but it's not really Whitey's song. It's someone else's song.
Yes, I agree. I agree. The song You Got the Power, was the intention of the song to gather up people's resources and to reflect on things?
You're speaking lyrically, of course. Yeah, yes. It's not. I mean, you know, Save It for the Revolution and You've Got the Power have relatively similar themes to them. It's really more about awakening within first before you take a position. To speak from the perspective of You've Got the Power, particularly in the first verse, speaks about, the people who are gifted at the cult of personality, which there's a certain cadence, there's a certain tone that engenders trust, and it really doesn't matter much as how seductive it is that what you're saying, and the amount of broadcast quality, the amount of people that you can lure in to the mentality, and it becomes manipulative. It's highly manipulative. You know, I'm trained in voice. I have a good voice. Yada yada. Blah, blah. You know, but it's not a benevolent manipulation for the most part. It forms what, you know, a phrase coined by Living Color, the cult of personality. People don't. It's like it's one thing to say that I will do this and I will do that. And if they're invested in personality, this leader, they go to sleep and they don't follow through with the very same leader who they may have elected into office, if say, for instance, to task about, well, you said this and then you did that, right? That becomes for the opposition to do, right? And again, it's divisive. You know, if I were to vote for somebody, you know, I'd be paying very careful attention. And now you're doing that. Yeah, it's not definitely what you said you would do. I would want to hold their feet to the fire as to, okay, why? Right? Very simple, very basic. But that doesn't seem to be the way it works with most people. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about an internal awakening before you take a position on things, which is, you know, we human beings are very clever people, very clever monkeys. But we also have an innate way of deceiving ourselves, especially when we become emotionally invested in things. And so, and I believe that only a certain amount of self-reflection is ever going to turn around. Sash, you got something to add?
You hit the nail on the head. It's, from personal reflection, I mean, you present yourself for years, and that's why traveling is good, because you can reinvent yourself or, you know, present yourself differently. But yeah, it takes a lot of reflection. Whew, good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. You Got the Power. Next. One thing I want to talk about before we go to the next track is your merch. I honestly love the artwork. Who designed the Mr. Fish custom tee? Like, how did that come about?
Well, he is very well known political illustrator, very cutting edge in the U.S. His name is Dwayne Booth, but he goes under the name of Mr. Fish. At the behest of Clayton Rudy, the bass player of the Mystics at the time, approached him and said, "We've got this album. It's very political. We'd like you to get involved in any way possible." And I didn't hold out great hopes for that because Dwayne is very well known and very well published by the Times, the yada yada, pretty much, you know, the New Yorker. I didn't know that Dwayne would jump on board, and I was completely, thankfully, wrong about that. So he did, for one of our two existing T-shirts, he did the illustration, which hopefully you will put up for visibility for the sake of the listeners. It's brilliant. It really it tees off from the green of the song "Fall," which of course is the title track of the album, and absolutely brilliant. And he also, nobody's seen it but the insiders, but he also followed through with the at some point soon to be released EP that I've tentatively entitled, but not tentatively entitled, I think it's a very good title, called "The Devil You Know," which will be a smaller compilation of new Iron Age Mystic stuff with reinvented versions of older Iron Age Mystic stuff with Sasha, myself, and Derek Black taking charge of it. But yeah, that's the shorthand version of working with Mr. Fish.
Oh, wow. Look forward to hearing that. The Devil You Know. Love the title. So who is the picture of the boy in the other T-shirt? I love that, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that little boy is a fictional little boy. If you had the bus shot, a local artist by the name of Giselle Silvestri, who is the partner of Chuck Brown, guitar player for Life on Mars, and played a couple of tracks on the Mystics album. That's his partner. And I've always been a big fan of her artwork going back probably 15, 20 years, maybe not 20, but 15 anyway. And she dearly gave us permission to use a version of the larger picture to promote the album. And that's how that came about. But yeah. We have two full renderings of Giselle's work here in our living room and dining room. And an absolutely brilliant visual artist, I have to say, hands down. So that's how that came about.
It's just beautiful. It's beautiful. And next up, we're going to listen to What You're Going to Do About It.
They're getting bolder every day now. Collectivism unleashed. Your rights are almost stripped away now. We know these tyrants won't see. You know it's getting pretty grave now. They want us all on bended knee. They say that no one's more enslaved now than fools that think that they are. Yeah.
So the next question Ether can respond was about Big Bad Big Bad Motherfucker. Fucker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The song Big Bad Motherfucker is clearly about a lesson from regulations on Wall Street, the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, and the fallout from that. You also got support of Bernie Sanders as part of the spoken word, which is so cool. Can you talk a bit about the song before we hear the track?
It was, again, this is one of the earlier Mystics tracks. Greg Mount, who really loves funk, himself to be the bass player, recorded it live off the ticket home. And then we came, then when we reassembled for some of the artistic creative, of course, it became Big Bad Motherfucker. The involvement of Bernie Sanders, that was a bit trickier. One Sunday afternoon, because we would always record on Sunday afternoons, mid-morning to late Sunday. And I had a YouTube drive, because at that point in time, we had this bridge, but we didn't have anything going on in the bridge. It was just basically groove, right? You know, clever changes in groove and no singing, nothing to keep your focus. I had the engineer install Bernie Sanders, attacking in the name of the people, the Wall Street, the deregulations that you spoke of, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it fit beautifully. It was just like, wow, Bernie's there. And he said, well, I'm going to do this. And he did. However, we mixed and recorded a song, and it occurred to me that we just can't release this like that. We should probably ask Bernie if it's cool. So our representative, Carrie Forbes, got in touch with, Bernie Sanders, going, hey, we have this song and Bernie's in it. Is it okay that we use Bernie? And they got back to us in about 15 minutes and said, can we hear the song? You know, where can we hear it? Kind of very cryptic and short, right? So Carrie sends the link to Bernie.
Yeah.
And Bernie's 82, 83 years old. And I wasn't really expecting, the song title like Big Bad Motherfucker, that perhaps it would appeal to Bernie's face. And again, thankfully, I was 100% wrong. They got back to us in about a half an hour and said, we love it. We love this song. Thank you so much for including Bernie in it. And it was case closed from that point forward.
That's amazing. It's amazing. I'm not surprised. He's been the cutting edge of a lot of change. And last track of the evening, Big Bad Motherfucker.
completely wiped out. In the NASDAQ, everything and more has been completely wiped out.
And what these people on Wall Street did is spend billions of dollars trying to deregulate Wall Street, and they got their way. They got everything they wanted.
If you were writing and producing this album today, like during the pandemic, what would it look like? Or is it something that we need to anticipate and look for in the next project, The Devil You Know?
This is, you know, I always thought of this project as being a working project. As things go, we've had a massive, massive multicultural change, global. As a lyricist, one good is actually a bit of a mystery to me, but that's usually how the best things work for me is, I just sit down with a pen and a paper, quite literally, and let her rip. So I wouldn't rewrite the old album, which of course is not an old album. It's an almost new album. I think it suits, and I think it will continue to suit our times. I just think I didn't have the time to change the past year and some. I'm going to leave that a mystery because in actual fact, it's kind of a mystery to me.
Okay. I think the album's timeless. I think it's timeless.
Well, thank you, Shay.
Both you and Sasha work well together. You're very gifted, both of you. And Kevin, your lyrics are incredible. Incredible. You two really bring out the best in each other.
Thanks, Shay. That's a good observation.
Yeah.
That's why we're together.
Yeah, you could have just said thank you, okay? Where's the best place to follow new releases and news about the bands? Would the website be the best place?
The website would be the best place for sure. Definitely Bandcamp. And definitely other means that are not copyright restrictive, particularly because that can get you into a whole new area and avenue of inadvertent censorship when somebody to apply a song, say for instance, to their webcast or what have you, and they get interrupted by so-and-so going, no, you can't do this unless you do, forget it. It is of course, a reality in the industry that, bands and musicians, and solo artists alike, the revenue stream comes much, 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 much more from selling merchandise or hard copies than it does come from streaming. But this is a strategy, and I'm glad you brought it, Shay. And Sash and Derek, of course, being newly involved or relatively newly involved, will foment as we go along.
Definitely. Well, that's awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you both, Sasha and Kevin, for spending your time today to talk about this incredible album, Pride Before the Fall. I really love it. You put out a great album.
Thanks so much.
It's great.
Yeah, thank you so much, Shay.
Thanks for having us. We love your show.
Oh, thank you, Sasha.
Yeah, thank you so much, Shay. We love your show. Absolutely. It's perfect. It was fun. It's great, Shay, as per usual.
Okay, bye. Have a great day.
Welcome, Shay. Thank you.
Thank you. Closing tonight, a fitting quote from Bob Marley. My music fights against a system that teaches to live and die. It is up to you, is it not? And that brings us to the end of the night. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Kevin and Sasha for coming on tonight's show to chat about the Pride Before the Fall album. When the show goes silent, take a minute to reflect. The message is told by these incredible artists tonight through the power of music are important. Remember, without music, our canvas is blank. Night all. Cheers. Well, that's a wrap for tonight. Episodes run every Wednesday. Who shows up or what we talk about, who knows right now. Live on the edge. Just tune in and enjoy. See you next Wednesday. From my pad to yours, After Hours. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.